What's up, everybody? It's Lex and Stacy. Hello, Stacy.
Hi, Lexi Poo. How are you?
I'm good. We are here with another threesome podcast, and we talk about all kinds of stuff. Last week got a little Ebola political, but so what? You know, I mean, shit happens, right?
Yeah. Sorry about that. It was kind of the bitter podcast, I guess.
I didn't think it was that bitter. I mean, I listened back to it. It had its merits as far as niceties go.
But, good.
It was kind of, you know, we just both agree on certain subjects, and that was one of them, that, you know, people that put stuff on Facebook that is just completely something they know nothing the fuck about and put it up there to, you know, let the minions who don't have a fucking mind of their own say, oh, yeah, Obama's an Ebola spreader, is completely irresponsible.
Yes.
Yeah. And to say the first lady is starving our kids, it's like, no, she's cutting back their calories, so we're not the fat fucks of the world, okay?
So I guess technically they are, you know, not she's not starving, but yeah, she's cutting the calories, so yeah. Timmy doesn't have to wear his Huskies anymore.
That's right. Believe me, in the end, she's going to save you money, and that's something you should appreciate.
Yes.
Since your kid's being used to having salad shoved down his pie hole at school, you can do it at home. Lettuce yes. costs a lot less than beef, kids.
So does ground turkey.
Most certainly does.
Yes.
So, anyway, we're not going to go down that road this time.
Okay.
Instead, I'd like to start off by talking to you about a brand new show I love.
What would it be?
How to Get Away with Murder. Have you seen it yet?
No, I have not.
It should be on iTunes or Netflix.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I had to go back and watch 3 episodes to get caught up. But this fucking show is awesome. It stars Viola Davis. Who was in The Help. You know, a great movie. Yeah, I think she was nominated for an Oscar. Maybe even won it. I'm not sure. But she's a phenomenal actress. It's written by the people who do the show Scandal, which is one of my favorite shows.
Cool.
And it's kind of edited and backtracks and stories the same way and stuff like that. But she's a lawyer. And she's also a law professor. And she uses the top students in her class on her cases. And they flash forward to some sort of trouble her selectees get into together regarding the death of her husband, who they're starting to paint the picture she doesn't care that much about.
Gotcha.
And so you realize some really bad shit's happened down the road. You just don't know what it is. But in the meantime, they're building all the characters, which all are very interesting. It's just completely cool. So it is, it's really one of these things where it's much like Olivia Pope is in Scandal, where she does some really, really good things, but she does some really, really bad things to make good things happen.
I love that dynamic.
Yeah. Which is a pretty honest assessment of most of our lives.
Most of us. Yeah.
You know,
I know some people who do shitty things just because, well, they're shitty individuals.
Yes. But for the greater good, sometimes you have to make decisions that aren't real popular.
But
in the end, you look back and go, oh, that was necessary. At least you do to make yourself sleep better.
So what do you think the worst thing that you could do to, I guess, have a good outcome? And I guess, do you want to go like, would you kill someone you loved if it was going to save the entire world?
It depends on who it is. I I don't think I could kill my girl or my little girl. I don't think I could do that.
What about Terry, for instance?
Well, that's how I pay for the girl and little girl, so no, he's out. Anybody else on the show, I probably could.
If this was going to save all of humanity, I mean, the world would continue spinning, and humanity and society and all cultures everywhere would be able to continue on as they have been with all the good stuff and the bad stuff.
No, I think I'd keep Lex and Terry alive. And let the chips fall where they may.
Well, good.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I could shoot my boy. He's fucked up in a lot of areas, and so am I, but I don't think we could off each other.
But, of course, by not doing that, the world's coming to an end anyway, so there wouldn't be a Lex and Terry.
Yeah, but it's coming to an end with us on top, and we're okay with that.
Well, good.
You know, better to burn out than fade away, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And plus, I don't want that on me. Come on.
But if it saved everyone else, if you saved billions of lives just by pulling that little trigger once.
All right, there's a caveat. Do I get credit for it?
Do you want credit for it?
I mean, it's like, am I the only person that knows that if I pull the trigger on Terry, that the world's saved?
It will be a selfless act.
Or does everybody know I'm the man that saved the world?
Well, okay, either or. If everybody knew, and you'd be like the savior, you know, the next Jesus.
Then I blow his brains out.
All right, good.
But if
it was just going to be you?
But if nobody knows I saved the world, you know, I don't do nothing.
Gotcha.
Just being honest. I think he'd say the same thing.
What if it's no one you love, it's just like the hobo down the street?
He's dead.
Either or?
Either or.
Gotcha.
I mean, you know, what does he bring into the world?
He could be a magnificent street performer.
I'd basically just say, look, you and I are going to Del Frisco's for an awesome steak dinner. I'm going to get you shit-faced beyond belief. And then I'm going to save the world by blowing your head off. What do you say?
Now, oh, geez.
What's
if you had to be close enough so that when you shot him, you got spatter and brain matter on you.
I don't care.
Okay.
Matter of fact, kind of turns me on. Just be a sociopathic killer.
Okay, in that instance, then, would you shoot more than once?
Yeah, I'd want to show mercy and make sure he dies, of course. I'd empty the clip in him.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's delve deeper into this.
What?
Would you reload and shoot again?
Nah, I don't want to waste my ammo.
But if it's safe... Saving the world. Jeez. Saving the world.
Listen, I emptied a fucking clip into the guy. He's dead, okay? The world's
right.
Saved. And so is my ammo. I've saved my ammo and the world.
And the Lex and Terry show.
Yes. Completely self-preserved. Completely heroic. Everybody loves me. The Koch brothers come to me and say, way to go, dude. What can we do for you? And I said, 200 affiliates would be cool. Make it happen, boys, because I know you can. And that'd be it.
Well, there you go. Lex Staley, savior.
Hey, if you guys can effectively take American history out of, like, schools, then by all means. You can get me on a couple hundred affiliates.
Right.
And you know how you're going to do that? You're going to buy the whole fucking schmear from Clear Channel and from Cumulus. And put
you mean iHeart Media?
Yeah. Of course. And you're going to put me in charge. Because you may not believe this, but when it comes to being in charge, I'm a lot like you. Just not as environmentally fucked up, and I kind of like people better than you, but some of your decision making I don't question. I would like to have it all also.
Well, fuck Walton then.
Fuck who?
Isn't the Waltons, Sam Walton, the Walmart family?
Listen, you need them. Who else is going to build shelled stores in the middle of nowhere that poor people can shop in? Please.
And shit in the shoe aisle.
Yeah, it happened at one. Come on.
So, multiple times.
No micromanaging here. Okay, Stacy. It's one couple giant pieces of shit in one store. They found the culprit. It's all good.
They didn't.
Yeah, I heard they had.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Either way, it's just one person in one Walmart out of how many with one pile of shit?
Many, many Walmarts.
Yeah, there's lots of Walmarts. Anyway, they're good for the economy.
You know what's become very scarce?
What?
Renee Zellweger's old face.
Yeah. It's gone.
I feel so bad for her. She, I actually have her statement that I could read if you'd like. But yes. Okay, she says, my friends say that I look peaceful. I'm healthy. For a long time, I wasn't doing such a good job with that. I took on a schedule that is not realistically sustainable and didn't allow for taking care of myself. Rather than stopping to recalibrate, I kept running until I was depleted and made bad choices about how to conceal the exhaustion. I was aware of the chaos and finally chose different things. I did work that allows for being still, making a home, loving someone, learning new things, growing as a creative person, and finally growing into myself. So overall, she is very happy that people think she looks different.
Wow. But do you watch Jerry Maguire and go, who's this bitch?
She was cute as a button. I saw a comment on the internet that I agreed with. She had a very unique face. You know, she was not a classic beauty, but she was just cute as a button.
Uh-huh.
I always really liked her. If TMZ, because that's where I saw it yesterday when it was first announced, shown her new face. If they hadn't put the side by side, I would never have known that was her. At least Meg Ryan still looked like Meg Ryan.
Not
just the,
really.
The Joker. She had like a Joker mouth going on.
Still
the Jack
does.
Jack Nicholson Joker kind of thing. But you could still tell that was her.
I guess.
But this is a totally different person. Her eyes, even her mouth is different. Everything that made her is gone. And maybe she's happy. She seems to be happy. So I don't know.
She should be happy. She has shitloads of money, doesn't really have to work the rest of her life, and there you go.
Yeah, but if that's the reason, I mean, look, Meg Ryan hasn't done anything to really, you know, speak of since hers. Jennifer Grey, when she got her nose job, she said she walked into that procedure a celebrity and walked out anonymous. Because her nose job with that imperfect, cute nose that she had completely changed her, so you would never know that was her.
I saw her in Dancing with the Stars, though. She was pretty hot.
But completely different from, like, baby, you know? She was not the Jennifer Grey that we remember from Ferris Bueller and everything.
She was so good in Ferris Bueller.
Scrotum.
Yep. Part with Charlie Sheen at the end.
Oh, God. That was That was Charlie Sheen at his hottest. Now he's got like meth mouth going on and everything. Yeah. He's just gross. But in Ferris Bueller, he was my perfect man. My bad boy that I loved so much.
I love his sense of humor. He was great in 2 and a Half Men.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Your lungs okay?
No, not really. Got a bad cold.
I can tell, you poor thing.
Yeah, and this is that day where the sore throat's going away and the cough's starting.
For me, it's always I start feeling better, but that's when I sound my shittiest.
Yeah. And that's kind of what's going on. I feel okay, but, you know, I'm coughing and all this shit, and I'm supposed to run in a 5K tomorrow night. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Oh, I don't think it should.
Well, tell Lisa that.
And, you poor thing.
And Terry.
Why? Is he making you do this?
No, he was like, I hear working out gets that stuff out of you quicker. I went, sounds like bullshit to me, Terry.
I think your best option, honestly, would take a long, long hot shower and just let that steam get into your lungs and clear you out.
When I feel like this, I take like 4 showers a day.
Yeah.
You just feel better getting out. You know, you're clean. You just feel good. Oh, hell yeah.
I know. And when you're really sick, too, and I'm sure it's completely mental, you know, but you just feel like I've just washed off so many germs.
Uh-huh.
All the germs that are making me sick right now, I've just washed them down the drain.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, you know, taking all kinds of, you know, detoxins and antioxidants and stuff like that. But it's bullshit. It just has to, it's a bug. It just has to go through you. Nothing's really going to make it go quick.
Right.
I got my girlfriend's mom saying we need to take some sort of olive extract something or other. And I'm like, what?
I always just do vitamin C, echinacea, and zinc.
Exactly. And Tylenol.
But don't take it all the time.
And Tylenol.
If you don't like your liver, yeah.
I love my liver, but there's...
Then don't take too much Tylenol. It's good in small amounts.
Yeah, well, I'd take it while I'm sick, and then I don't take it.
Okay.
It's not going to hurt your liver that much in a few days.
I hope not.
No, it
doesn't. I'm kind of fond of your liver.
Yeah, well, I haven't abused my liver with alcohol and such, so it should be fine.
Good.
You know, so don't worry, mommy. It's fine. It's time for an energy drink.
It's the cutest little lever ever.
So, you know, that's pretty much the deal as far as my health goes. Now, let's move on to other things.
All right.
There's a wide array of things to talk about going on in the world. I don't know if you have anything you want to throw in, but I've kind of noticed that after watching a lot of TV over the last 6 or 8 weeks, that you can tell a movie is shitty by how much it gets advertised.
Or if Dean Cain's in it.
Well, yeah. Dean Cain's not in movies anymore. He's just in TV shows.
Oh, God. He's all over Netflix. It'll be something interesting. We'll be like, ooh, and we're reading the description. I'm like, there's Dean Cain's name. Just flip away from it.
My latest fears are the movie The Judge, which has gotten record commercial time in the last 8 weeks.
And I am so happy I don't watch TV.
Yeah. And the other big concern is the new Keanu Reeves movie, John something or other. And I hate Keanu Reeves as an actor. I think he's a nice guy. I really do. I think he's
had a really shitty life too.
He has?
Yeah. Back, like, what, early 2000s, his girlfriend, who was pregnant with their child, got hit by a car or something and died.
All right, when's the bad thing?
And then I think he had, like, a terrible childhood with his father. I don't know for a fact. I'm not, like, all up on my Keanu Reeves, but I get the impression that his life hasn't been rosy.
Okay, the movie's name is John Wick.
Okay.
And he plays a badass. Now, my big problem with Keanu Reeves as an actor is he can make I Want to Kill You and I Love You sound exactly the same.
True.
I want to kill you. I love you.
And yet still has more range than Kristen Stewart.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, I think he does.
I think Kristen Stewart's a dud also. But you and I are in the minority there. My girlfriend thinks she's just smoking fucking hot.
You can be hot and still not have any acting range.
Yeah, but sometimes great acting makes you hotter. Like Jennifer Lawrence is hot.
And Meryl Streep in her day.
Meryl Streep's still hot.
Yeah, she is. I do her.
She's so intellectual and so fucking good that you would fuck Meryl Streep.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. I mean, she's at one of my dinner of five that I... I would love to have her to myself for dinner.
Oh, really? What would you serve her?
Whatever. It doesn't matter. I love her laugh. I think she's a regular fucking chick who just happens to be a brilliant actress.
Right.
But she, by all counts, on any set she's been on, is adored by her fellow actors and directors.
Right.
She's not.
And she also fucked Jack Nicholson in whatever movie they did back a long time ago.
She's not a prima donna.
And she should be. If anyone was going to be, it should be her.
Yeah. She brings people like food on the set and shit like that. And, you know, plays practical jokes. And she's just somebody I would love to spend some time with.
So would you put the moves on her? Would you be all suave?
If she'd let me fuck her, I would.
Aw, how you doing?
I would.
Seriously, what would be your opening line with Meryl Streep? If Lex were going to throw it out there and take that chance, what would you say your one line that's going to reel her in?
Listen, I know I'm just a regular dude, but I'm extremely attracted to you. I'm younger than you. I know you think I'd probably go for something younger or stuff like that, but I got to tell you, I like what you have going on. I'm not just talking about your acting. I can just tell in things I've seen on TV that have nothing to do with acting, whether it's interviewing or whatever the case is, that you are just a regular, everyday, approachable human being who I just absolutely have come to adore as a fan. But this is you and I sitting here. I'm not talking to you as a fan right now. I'm talking to you as a guy that would like to kiss you.
And you see her blush. You see that blush creeping up her neck, across her cheeks.
And I get up out of my chair with my chicken piccata in front of me. Nobody paints a picture like me, right, Stacey?
Your her like a book.
I on purpose but accidentally spill my wine and laugh.
Would you spill it on your crotch?
She laughs also. I'm like, what? I'm going to be like, wow, I was counting on that to drink down before I kissed you, but hey, I guess I'm all by my lonesome now, huh?
You see her looking up at you under her eyelashes.
She looks up
at me. She licks her bottom lip.
She looks up at me, and she says, what are you doing? And I say, I told you what I'm doing.
I'm spilling my wine.
And I put my hand underneath her hair and grab her neck. And I
roughly or gently?
Gently.
Okay.
I pull her close to me, and I gently kiss her just for a second on the lips.
Just a brushing kind of, or more?
No, like a second and a half. And I pull myself away, like 6 inches away from her face, and look at her. And go, well, I can cross that off my bucket list.
And she says,
I'll say, there's about 4 more things that have to do with you on my bucket list. She, of course, laughs. And she goes, and what might those be? And I say,
you can see she's breathy.
And I
her breathy voice.
And I say, are you acting right now? I said, are you really a little bit nervous?
You see that blush creep up her neck and face again.
And she says, that's for you to figure out. And I went, I expected you to say that. So why don't you take your sweater off?
Really? Don't go there.
Yeah, because she's Meryl. You know she has a sweater on.
You don't ask her to take it off. You would woo her with your hands in your mouth.
No. Let me finish, Stacy. It's my Meryl fantasy. Okay. You ask me what I do, shut the fuck up.
All right.
So, once again, I bend down and I kiss her on the lips. And I start to slide her sweater off of her shoulders. She has on a sleeveless, long dress. Comes down right above her knees. It's pink. She has pearls on, but it looks great on her. Doesn't look old school. It looks classic. Looks like exactly what she should have on. She has her hair up a little bit. I undo it. And she looks up and laughs with that laugh of hers. And she goes, what exactly do you think's going to happen here?
She's playful yet pouty.
Yeah. I said, you know that movie you did, The Devil Wears Prada? I'll give you 2 guesses which one I am.
She blinks. Blink, blink, blink.
She laughs. I grab her hand and escort her out of the chair as we walk towards the bedroom. I take a shot of tequila.
That's the sound she makes as she's walking.
I take a shot of tequila. And I said, you want a shot of tequila too, Meryl? And she goes, I think I'd like 2. And I say, well, you might want to leave some room for stuff later.
Stuff.
She looks at me and says, I don't know what you mean by that, but okay.
Blink, 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 blink.
Yeah.
The fluttering of her lashes.
I take her into the bedroom. We start kissing passionately.
Her hands gripping your head, pulling her, your face down tightly to her.
Her hands start undoing my belt. And I look at her and I go, I knew it.
You whore.
Yeah. She undoes my belt and the button of my pants and I push her down on the bed. I disrobe. I get on top of her and I slide her skirt up and rip her panties off.
She's breathing hard.
She lets out a sigh. I do my thing.
Which is what?
Come on now, this is a, yeah, this is a classy thing here.
Yeah. With the tequila and stuff.
This is very classy.
Okay.
I get on top of her and we're doing it. I go, it's so cool that you're a whore.
She says, shut up and fuck me harder.
She looks at me and says, oh, I so am. And I went, I know. After all, it's our first date and I'm fucking you. Of course you're a whore.
Just for you.
And you're a movie star. I mean, come on. Anyway.
I've never been this way with anyone else. Just you.
She looks at me and says, are you involved with anybody? And I look at her and I say, not tonight. Yes, Meryl, I have a girlfriend, but when I tell her I got to fuck Meryl Streep, she's not going to care. She knows how I feel about you. Because you are the best woman on the planet. And this is a special pleasure making love to you at your house with your wine and tequila.
And sweater.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed I had to do the cooking. I thought you'd have a guy for that, but that's okay. And she says,
as slowly as the night goes on.
And she says, I gave him the night off. I went, ah, so you knew this was going to happen. No. Yes. Say yes.
Yes. Yes. Lex.
Okay, thank you, Meryl. And then we fall asleep, embraced in each other's arms.
Legs entwined, her head on your chest.
And wake up in the morning, and she's horrified. And asked me to put on my clothes and leave.
Because it's not good sex unless there's a little humiliation.
Right. I try to text her, but she ignores me. I'm left with the memory of making love to Meryl Streep that I can't share with anybody until now.
Your one night in Meryl.
The end.
Ta-da! That was a lovely fantasy.
Wasn't that nice?
Yes. I guess the question is, did she ever end up not needing the two shots of tequila?
She needed them.
Gotcha.
She was a little sore.
And it was the only thing that really would loosen up her asshole.
No, it's not the only thing.
Oh, what?
A little late for that. I mean, sometimes you just got to do something on a dare. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
You know. When you say things like, bet this didn't happen in Kramer versus Kramer. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, stuff like that.
Right.
It's just the way it is. Oh, Meryl. Meryl, Meryl, Meryl. What a delightful, lovely, talented, extraordinary woman you are. You're so lucky you got to have me. I'd like to say I'd seen all your movies, but I can only think of two of them. Good stuff.
Postcards on the Edge.
I have other fantasies about other movie stars, too.
Do you have any with Carrie Fisher? Young Carrie Fisher from a long time ago, not recent.
Bunhead? Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Really?
Yeah. She really didn't do it for me.
Interesting.
I'll tell you who does it for me. It's Gina Gershon.
Yes. She has that mouth and those eyes.
That would be a completely different thing. That would be like sitting down at the dinner table and having wine and food and all that stuff there. And I just fucking clear the table off and grab her and fuck her on the dinner table. And while you're fucking her, she's the type that goes, "Now what the fuck are we going to eat for dinner?" I say, "Shut the fuck up. We're going out for dinner, you idiot." "You fucking beautiful, hot as shit idiot." "My God, you're so hot." "I'm going to fuck you like the bitch that you are in Showgirls, you little whore." She's so amazing.
She's like, "You know, Meryl Streep, she didn't mention any of this part to me."
Meryl's not much of a talker, Gina. But she's a different flavor than you are. We actually went off to the bedroom and did it classy, like. Yes. You were never going to make it to the bedroom. You're lucky you made it upstairs to the kitchen. I wanted to bend you over the trunk in the garage. Okay, I'll be honest. I wanted to bend you over the trunk in your garage. No, wait, I'll be honest. As soon as you answered the door, I wanted to push you on the floor and fuck the shit out of you. No, wait. Nah, never mind. That's good enough. She drives me crazy.
I know that. She has for a long time.
Yeah.
That's actually one. If someone had randomly asked me, I would have been able to tell them that that's your chick.
Longest run in my top five. I don't know if she'll really ever be out of it.
I think she's going to be one that ages like really hot.
Yeah, I hope so. There's somebody coming up behind her I really desire that could spend a very long time in there as well.
Who?
Olivia Munn.
I'm going to have to look her up.
What?
I know.
She, there is kind of a downer to her. She's dating Aaron Rodgers. Who, to me, is kind of a tool. I mean, I have him on my fantasy team. He's a good football player, but as a dude, he's kind of a tool to me. But you can't argue with a guy that's dated Aaron Andrews and Olivia Munn.
Oh, look at her. She is quite cute.
Oh, cute's not the word. She's fucking ridiculous. I guess you're getting the fact.
You like your brunettes, don't you?
I love my brunettes. Love, love, love my brunettes. Why I married a blonde for 30 years, I don't know. I think that's what I was in back then. But somewhere, some way over the years. And who knows? Maybe that was the revolting inside my marriage I was doing. If I ever get out of this, I'm getting somebody completely different.
See, that makes me sad because my husband also prefers brunettes.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to turn Cameron Diaz down, okay? You know, it really doesn't matter. I mean, there's so many beautiful women with different hair colors. It doesn't matter. It's just...
Now, what were you going to say?
It's just the flavor of the moment.
Gotcha. Now, do you prefer a woman who has dark hair? Because they obviously would show up more. Do you want her to be 80 years old and still have jet dark hair because she's, you know, been dyeing it for the last 60 years? Or would you prefer to see her slowly gray and age, I guess, gracefully? I don't know if that's the correct word, but...
I don't know, man. They can color hair so appropriately anymore. I mean, they can actually color a woman's hair where it's dark and has a touch of gray in it.
Right.
So I'd probably prefer that.
So more of an age-appropriate color, but not necessarily, like, white.
Right.
Gotcha.
I don't like that.
There are some colors where it's kind of that steel gray that you'll see older women who have, and I think it's just such a fascinating color, and it works really well on some women.
I've seen it work well on some women, and I'd be okay with it.
But I only ask because I finally found my first gray hair.
Oh, there's more.
I always ask the hair people to look too. That was the first one.
Well, let me tell you, kid. They come fast and furious after the first one.
I am hoping.
Unless you're me.
Well, I'm very blonde, as you know. Yeah. So I'm hoping that it just won't show up for a while.
You do, as blondes tend to hide it nicely. My ex-wife is always like, God, look at all this gray hair I have. And I look at her and go, I can't see it. You're fine for now.
My grandfather was so blonde that when he turned gray, his hair darkened.
Wow.
Yes. His nickname was Whitey. It was a different time.
That was the same nickname I had when I walked through a black neighborhood once.
Nice.
I'll be here all week.
Ba-dum-bum.
But it's... You know, I do like brunettes. I really do. I had a huge crush on Suzanne Pleshette when I was a kid. I think that's where it started, on the Bob Newhart show.
Right. That whiskey voice of hers.
But my mom had this friend. She was a beautician, and she was blonde. And she looked just like Blythe Danner. Do you know who that is?
Yes, Gwyneth's mom.
Yeah. She looked like a really young version of her, and I had such a crush on her. And I put on my Cub Scout uniform, and she'd always go, oh, I just love men in uniform. And I'd get all blushy and everything.
So did you ever nail any of your mom's friends?
No.
Really? You hesitated. I heard the catch in your voice.
No, the hesitation is I almost nailed one of my friend's moms.
And why didn't you?
She finally had a talk with herself about the amount of flirtation that was going on. But I was 17 and she was 35. And she had this really pulled back blonde hair, and her face looked like Natalie Wood. She was a beautiful woman. Beautiful.
Nice.
But she was blonde. And she had her hair pulled back in a bun because she was a president of a bank. and she wore these business suits, and she would come home like 3 in the afternoon, and, you know, we'd be like around the pool and stuff like that, or they had a really nice house, and we'd be hanging out at the pool, and she would waste no time in getting out of her work clothes and putting on a bathing suit and coming out and getting in the sun. So while all the other people are diving in and throwing balls around and fucking around and stuff like that, I would kind of meander over to the side of the pool and talk to her. And
how flirty would it get?
Pretty flirty. She goes, you've been lifting weights? And I went, yeah. She goes, are you playing football this year? And I'd say, uh-huh. She says, I thought you were a tennis player. I said, I am, but I do both.
I'm very talented with my hands.
She says, that's pretty impressive. She goes, you know, Scott and, you know, Randy, they're not real athletic. I said, yeah, but they're probably going to fix the world's problems one day. They're really smart. You know, they were like valedictorian and, you know, I mean, they used to talk about shit that was way over my head. That's why I spent most of my time down there talking to their hot mom. You know, because it's like, yeah, you can talk about algorithms. I'm going to go talk to your hot as shit mom down here. So one day, you know, this went on for like 2 years, 2 summers, you know. And she goes, yeah, she goes, you know, my husband is out of town all the time. she goes, that gets a little old. She goes, I miss him. And I said, yeah. I said, I bet he misses you too. And she goes, you're so sweet. And I said, yeah, well, you know.
Now, were you aware at 17?
I had no idea. No idea.
Okay. Yeah. It didn't even occur to you that she might be fishing.
Not even. I mean,
do you kick yourself now? Like, if you were you now back in your 17-year-old body?
I'd so be fucking her. But instead, you know, just was innocent flirtation. I think she enjoyed that. She probably had alone time to me several times, I'm guessing.
Did you with her?
As did I. But that's as bad as it got. She wasn't a creepazoid or anything. But she was a knockout. Because to me, there's nothing prettier. There's nothing better. There's nothing more amazing than a woman in her 30s. They are perfection. Absolute perfection.
Right.
I even these days, with all the advancements in plastic surgery and all the awareness about fitness and working out, am now stretching that all the way to 55, 60 years old.
Really?
Yes. I see some women here in Dallas. I got 3 of them in my yoga class that are 50 plus that are amazing.
And very bendy.
No, I mean, some of them are new at it, so no, not so much. But, I mean, 50-year-old women didn't used to have world-class asses.
True.
But they do now.
At least not in those old yellow pictures from the 70s. No. Where they're all wearing the plaid pants.
Right. I mean, these are women in their 50s wearing skin-tight yoga pants, and they look phenomenal.
Well, good.
I mean, their butts are, like, upraised, not droopy, you know.
There was a study that just within the last maybe month or two that showed that men really only find women attractive in their 20s, like when the women are in their 20s. It doesn't matter what age the man is, but he is aiming for 20-year-olds.
That's ridiculous. That's
well, I hope so. But it was like, oh, geez.
No, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. At my age, I don't want anything to do with a chick in her 20s. I really don't. You know, it's, you know, because part of the sexuality of a woman in her 30s, 40s, 50s is their growing sophistication in the sexual process.
Well, you do realize at your age too, the minimum that you should be dating would be like 35.
Yeah. Well, I clear that.
Just letting you know. Yeah. Your age generator.
Yeah.
The formula. It's half your age plus 7 or 8, and
that's fine.
Depending on who you talk to.
Yeah, I really don't care. I find women attractive at all ages. You know, whoever I ended up with is the next mate or whatever the case is. Excuse me.
Sorry, you sound so miserable.
Oh, I know. Yeah, the only one hearing that's you, though. I'm turning my mic off while I do it.
Okay.
But I'm coughing my ass off. But you can hear my computer.
Right in my ears.
You can hear my computer mic, so. So,
and it's loud and booming.
Yes. So that's pretty much my story. I don't care about the age.
Well, good.
So.
What's the youngest you've ever gone?
I guess. You know, I got married when I was 34. So, I mean, she was 5 years young. She was 5 years younger than me, so that's the youngest I went. I met her when I was 23 and she was 18, so.
Wow.
But we were apart here, and you know, for like the first 11 years before we got married. So, you know, I had some other people.
So you haven't really had much of an opportunity over the years to dabble.
I went on quite a tear during that time, actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, yes, I have.
It's dabbling less.
And I was a completely faithful husband up until 4 years ago.
I know that about you.
Yeah. Well, my wife doesn't think so. Yeah, since I had the one discretion before we divorced, you know, she tends to think I did it the whole marriage, which pisses me off.
Well, I can't speak for your whole marriage, but I know that when I was on the show with you guys during that time, that you certainly weren't.
No, I can speak for my whole marriage. I would admit it if I did. I'd admit it if I, you know, I have no qualms. Now that I'm out of the marriage, I wouldn't care. You know, but the truth of the matter is, no, I know.
Yeah, but you said yourself, she doesn't believe you. I'm just saying, like, as a female, you I know that you weren't during that time.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, we on the show were pretty good boys. The reason is we knew we were bad boys, so the other guys would make sure if somebody was going down that road, we'd go, ah, no, you don't, man. Come on. Now, I fully admit there was a couple of those where,
right.
Where I was like, God damn it. You know, but it was for the best. I always appreciated it the next day. Like, I'm glad I didn't do that.
Right.
You know, so.
Because once you go down that road, you don't really stop going down that road.
No, you don't. I don't think. And, you know, I know that once a cheater, always a cheater stuff. But I think that's bullshit. I cheated for one reason and one reason only. That I exhausted all my possibilities in my marriage. And I became rather sociopathic.
I know the stories you've told me.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of turnabout as fair play. You know, when you're with somebody that kind of did whatever they want because of the situation, and you were kind of the person that, you know, to give an accurate description, it was like being a chief of staff and covering up things for the president.
Right. You were the fixer.
I was the fixer. The explainer, the excuse maker, the, you know, the...
the candlestick maker.
I was the Olivia Pope of our marriage, you know. Whatever chaos was going on the inside, I made it look like Shangri-La on the outside.
And you looked great in a skirt.
And I woke up one day, I think, and got resentful of that. And shortly after that, I met my current girlfriend on Twitter. And
I've heard that people can do that, that happens.
Well, I mean, the relationship, when you think about it, was built pretty properly, you know, because there was 6 months of dialogue before I even met her physically.
At what moment did she pique your interest, just from a dialogue standpoint?
About 3 weeks in. About 3 weeks in. I mean, we had a phone call where it was kind of time to be transparent. Like, what are we doing here? What is this? Right. What's happening? Yeah, so there was a transparency phone call, and I just went, I really don't know what I'm doing here, to be honest. I just know I like what's happening. I feel good, and I haven't felt good in a while.
I like the way you tweet me, baby.
No, it's not even that, you know?
I know.
Keep in my relationship, you bitch. It was just.
I love the way you make use of 144 characters.
No, we were past that at that point. Yeah, we never talked on Twitter after a couple of weeks. One thing, you couldn't trust it. It's like you DM somebody and all of a sudden shows up in your tweet line. It's like, what the fuck? What happened here? You know?
Yes.
You know, plus there was some psycho bitch out there stalking the show, everything we all do, you know. So I was like, okay, I'm not dealing with that.
Is that the one I'm familiar with?
Yeah.
Ah, I gotcha.
You know, and that's another story for another time. But,
you know, weirdly enough, because I have never, ever, ever engaged or spoken or anything with her. I mean, there has been zero contact, but she has blocked me.
Yeah, I'll tell you why later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's just say she went too far.
Uh-oh.
So, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. That's how our relationship got started and all that. But up until then, I was a good boy for 20-something years.
And God bless you for it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it was a very hurtful, bad time and all that stuff. But I'm just being honest about it.
Well, good.
You know, I don't look good in it, but it's not as bad as people think. That's
right.
Kind of what it is.
It is what it is.
It doesn't take just one person, you know, to go through such things.
Correct.
So anyway, we must say goodbye.
Threesomepodcast.com.
And what do they get with that?
Everything that you possibly need to know. You can find links to all social media there. You can find links to the apps, both via Apple and Android apps for the LT2 channel. You can find past podcast episodes, any news, you know, bloggy type stuff that needs to be posted, you'll find there. You'll also find bios of Lex and I.
Oh, how nice.
Yes.
And there you have it. We got to say goodbye now, Stacy. So
yes.
We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.